Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders, and this is going to be a good one, Stone, because this is bringing back one of our old friends.
Oh, man, I have been looking forward to this segment for so long. We have back with us some folks with Startup Riot, and most importantly, perhaps, our good buddy Sanjay Parekh. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
Well, thanks.
So Startup Riot, what year is this?
Oh, gosh, this is year, I guess chronologically it's year number 8, except we skipped last year, so 7.5?
7-ish, but then you got the Seattle one, right, so it all evens
out. So there were two there, so we're 8.5-ish now? I don't know.
So when you started this however many years ago, what were you thinking? What were you trying to accomplish?
What were you thinking? I like that.
What was I thinking? I don't know. If I could go back in time and talk to that young man. I was thinking, you know, we needed a way to help entrepreneurs and help them with something that was not around for me when I was doing my startup. And that was really kind of my goal, is to do something that helped them out. And that's where I came up with the 3-minute, 4-slide kind of idea and doing a conference or a pitch event all around that.
And then the first year, was it the same format? Did you have, 30 startups?
Yeah, actually, it was a little bit different that first year. So here's the funny thing. That first year when I got going, I announced it and I said, hey, we're going to do 3-minute, 4-slide presentations. And I want to do 30 or 50. I think it was 50, I said. And somebody told me, they were like, you know, there's not even 50 startups in Atlanta. And they got me scared. And I was like, oh, crap, what did I get myself into? So I said, hey, I'll take all comers at this point. And I hit 40, 45, 50. Then I hit 54. And I thought, oh, no. There's not enough time now if I keep taking people. And so I had to stop it. So in the first couple of years, we were 50 startups. And then we added a second keynote. And now we've come down to 30 startups every year. So I think that's a
nice it was always number. A one-day event?
Always been a one-day event, although we sneak in a little pre-party for the presenters and sponsors the day before. But really the main thing is a day-long event.
Now, is it open to startups that are only technology or they can come from any industry?
So we take attendees from any industry, but the presenters we've kind of honed down. Now it's just technology, software, startups. In the early days, we used to take anybody. We had ice cream startups and this, that. And, you know, that's not a bad one, right?
Ice cream
startups. They have samples. But the demand has been so high that now we've kind of just honed in on software and internet startups.
Now, what's the startup scene like now, cut to 8 or 9 years later? Are there 10 times more startups?
Nobody says that you're going to have a hard time filling 30 spots anymore, at least. I think there's a lot of startups. I think even back then there were a lot of startups, just people didn't know what was there. But now, you know, we're seeing startups raising larger and larger rounds of money. I mean, just this week, Pindrop announced a $35 million round. I think that was today they announced it, or yesterday. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing these big, large rounds happening more and more often, and the startups are staying here. So I think the scene has just gotten incredibly more rich and diverse in the last few years.
Now, is it harder for you to vet the startups that get to participate or the investors that get to attend?
The startups, the vetting of them is definitely harder. There's more and more good quality stuff. And so I have to say no to a lot of folks because I just don't have the time. I don't have, you know, more than 30 slots. The investors are actually pretty easy. You know, we always have those folks that try to sneak in that are really service providers that try to pretend like they're investors. But I'm pretty much on their game, and I know how to find them out.
Now, are some of the investors previous startups that have exited?
Yeah, I guess there are definitely some entrepreneurs that have exited that are now back as investors. That definitely happens.
So you're seeing the whole cycle.
The life cycle, yeah. And, you know, the more that we see that, the better for the community here.
Now, here with us, you have some alumna of the Startup Riot.
Alumna? Is that the right word?
I landed on that. We went alumni early, alumnus. I landed on alumna.
Yes, exactly. We've got 3 alums from the program.
All right, so who do you got?
I'm going to let them introduce themselves because otherwise I'm going to mess up.
All right, let's start with Rob.
Sure. I'm Rob Kiszczak, CEO and founder of Perfect Post.
And see, I probably would have said Badgie because I remember Badgie was actually the company that presented and they changed their name.
Well, and I'm a 2-time presenter at Startup Riot. So I actually presented the first year and that's where I met you and then came back around when started Badgie.
It was pre-Badgie? It was another startup?
Yeah, it was a startup in the kind of video.
That's right.
Opportunity, kind of a.
You don't remember it all, do you?
Vaguely now. This was 2008, wasn't it? The first year.
Yeah, it was kind of a precursor. Like, it's almost like a Wistia is what it possibly could have evolved into if we would have really chased it pretty hard.
Yep.
But Perfect Post helps e-commerce and direct marketers optimize social media for revenue and lead generation.
And then, but you were there as Badgy and Perfect Post.
We called ourselves Badgy, and we rebranded as Perfect Post about a year ago.
But it's similar software.
It's an evolution. You know, I don't say pivot much. I say mutation a little bit more lately.
I like that.
And then, who else have we got? We got Patrick.
Yeah, this is Patrick Braswell. I'm now the executive vice president of RealNex, but RealNex bought my company that I started a little over 2 years ago called 10-8, and we presented in 2012, placed third. And basically what we were doing was a tour book app and office building rating system for commercial real estate brokers, mm-hmm. which morphed into deal management, which morphed into financial analysis and, you know, mutated into a bunch of different things. And then September of last year, RealNex came in, bought us along with four other companies to produce a suite of solutions so that brokers can just have, you know, one email, one password to do all the tools and needs they have for the commercial real estate transactions.
And then how was your experience at Startup Riot?
It was awesome. I mean, it was I was a commercial real estate broker for 10 years, so I was one of those vendors that tried to sneak in to Startup Riot and Sanjay busted
me every
time.
Now, be honest, you never tried to sneak in. I know you didn't.
But it was the first time I'd ever pitched my idea before. So mm-hmm. I got up there, had the four slides, had the minute 30 or...
Three minutes. You might have done it in a minute 30, but you had 3 minutes.
And we actually got a lot of attention from it, from investors, which, Spencer and I were talking earlier. You'll hear from Spencer in a minute. That was my first time going around, and there were a lot of things that I said that I maybe overpromised. And when I met with investors, they really kind of honed in and say, well, look, the next time you do this, you need to, you know, be more specific about where you are and what opportunities you have. And because of the Startup Riot, it really gave us the exposure, and I was able to use that with every investor pitch I went on. Hey, we placed third in Startup Riot. Everyone knew what Startup Riot was. They were impressed by placing third. Although the two people that were in front of me were incredible. And I don't know what they're doing now. I really don't. Accelerade was one of them. And she did an incredible job. My wife, when we were done, she goes, "You lost." I go, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "The girl that went behind you killed you."
Wow.
But you did really well, sweetie.
That's a vote of confidence.
I know. I mean, I was crushed. I thought I did well. And then I hear that from my number one fan, right?
Number two fan.
That's right.
All right. So, Spencer, where are you at?
Hey, so I'm Spencer Barkoff, CEO of Campus Bubble. Founded out of a class at Emory University. Sanjay's an alum from Emory, right?
Yep.
So that's presented in 2013 and been focusing on building software solutions for universities to help them increase community engagement and focused on student engagement, really acclimating first-year students to help reduce attrition rates.
And that was one of the first times that Emory kind of got involved with a startup like that?
Yeah, so Emory invested in us while we were still students, actually after we presented at Startup Riot, and it was the first and only time Emory's ever invested in undergraduates.
So, Sanjay, you must be proud papa of feel semi-proud of their achievements and because of you and your help?
Yeah, well, yeah, I try not to say that any of this is attributable to me or Startup Riot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a long slog when you're doing a startup. And so all the kudos goes to all these folks that do these. You know, to date, I think it's been a little over 400 startups that have gone through Startup Riot mm-hmm. In one form or fashion between here and the couple of years that we were in Seattle. I'm hoping that we can do more and more in the coming years, and I've got plans for us to expand Startup Riot and do more and help more people go down that path. But it definitely is kind of a neat thing to see. You know, we talked about Pindrop a little while ago. They were actually a presenter when they were only a couple of months in. They weren't even called Pindrop at that point. They were a different name, Telineage. And to see how that has evolved over the years has been kind of impressive and awesome.
And it must be cool to see the mutation, as Rob was saying, of the companies where they start at one point and then by the time they make it, they're something, you know, could be not completely different, but different than when they started.
Yeah, and some of it is the people that start with one idea end up shutting that down and doing another thing, like what Rob has done. And it's that little bit of encouragement that happens in the early process to say, you know, just keep at it. Hey, a lot of you are going to fail, but if you keep at it, eventually you're going to find something that really hits.
Now, for all of you who have presented, was there anything that you learned from going through the presenting process? Was there coaching involved from StartupWriter? Did they do anything to help you get prepared to do your pitch?
Yeah, I mean, I guess during the application process, you have to submit a video, a 3-minute video. And for me, when you know I was still a senior in school, it was the first time that I actually had ever got up on stage and presented in front of a group of people. Which was definitely an interesting experience. And since then, you know, it was a learning opportunity, and I've improved, and that was one of the experiences that helped me improve.
So you went in there without any coaching? You just winged it?
No, I definitely had some coaching. I think there's a couple sessions that you guys helped
But when
put
you
on.
Sent yeah. the video in. You
oh, yeah,
just,
when I sent the video in.
That's when he got to coaching.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they're like, you might have something, but you need some coaching.
Definitely had some coaching. Definitely sat down. The first time I've actually even talked in front of a camera before. So, I mean, every single time you do something, you learn from that experience, and that's what StartupWriter help us do.
And to say, you know, we definitely have a couple of sponsors that step up to the plate. Acuity Complete this year is stepping up yet again to do coaching sessions with the presenters that we've got. You know, myself, I don't do any coaching sessions for any of the presenters because honestly, I just don't have the bandwidth. And I don't really want the presenters to be trying to please me because right. I actually don't matter at the end of the day. The judges that we've got, they're the ones that pick the top 5 out of the 30, and then the audience picks the top 3 out of the 5. I don't even vote in the audience portion of it because I don't think I should, being the host and kind of organizer right. of the whole event. So nobody should be trying to please me because they're not going to win anything if they please me.
So now walk us through, like a person, you put out a call for participation, what, a few months ago?
A few months ago, I think it was a little bit later this year because I was just trying to figure out the details of it. I think it was late October, early November.
So now, how many people applied?
So this year, how many people applied? I think it was well over 100. It was close to 200 people.
Wow.
That applied for the slots.
And then what do you get an email that says I'm in, or do they have to send you an application or a video? What do they send you?
Yeah. So they apply and they have to supply 4 sample slides that they would use and a 3-minute presentation. And then there's a bunch of data and things like that about the company and where they're at and how much money they've raised and all that other garbage. And really kind of what it boils down to is I don't look at most of that stuff, unless they're selected. I really look at the 4 slides and the 3-minute video. And based on just that alone, I can say, yeah, this sounds interesting to me, and I select them or not.
Now, what are you looking for? Are you looking for fundable companies? Are you looking for companies that are doing interesting things?
It's all interesting things to me. For example, Pindrop. When they had their first pitch, the slide deck that they submitted, it was horrific. And I told VJ that and kind of goaded him into getting a graphic designer involved, and he did. And he ended up tying for second place the year that he presented. Uh-huh. And I think a lot of it was because it was a good story to be told. But if you looked at it, I don't know that you could think at that point in time that it was a fundable company necessarily. It was this random technology. You could see the applications, but you couldn't really see the whole story. It's only after they developed for a few years that, you know, now they've raised $47 million,
right.
That they've got a great story around them. But when I saw them, it was really like, okay, this is a cool technology and there's something you can do with
it. So you're just looking for interesting, cool, something that stands out.
Yeah.
So you're not worried about fundable. You're not worried about...
I mean, we've got a lot of companies in this city that have done interesting, cool things that have never raised a dollar, and they've continued on. You know, MailChimp is obviously the one that right. always comes to mind. They have a huge business, and, you know, it's email marketing campaigns,
right.
really. So I'm looking for the ones that I hope that one day they're going to become sustainable companies, funded or not.
Now, are you the only one who vets these? Are those 200 things that come in, is that...
Yeah, it's always dangerous to say yes to that because then everybody's trying to ping me for getting in. But yes, I'm the only one. And I've kind of honed my process down. I try to do
in
person.
Can you decide in a split second? You see the slide, you know this is getting in the yes pile?
Pretty much inside of the first
like
30
Tinder.
Seconds.
Like Tinder?
I should actually develop that for myself, right? It's usually in the first 30 seconds or so I can really tell if... an entrepreneur has his kind of story down pat and knows what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm. So now you got this pile of the people you've accepted in, then what happens next?
They get an email, and I kind of let them know all the other things that are now going to happen. And the primary one being that they're not allowed to tell anybody. They're told that actually during application process. So the list of presenters is secret. That's why we have alumni for this
Because
broadcast.
No one knows until the day of the event.
Because no one knows until the day of the event. So they know that, and then they basically have to just hone their pitch and get it ready, and then also get ready for the demo table. In the demo pit that they're going to have. So 4-foot table where they get to show off their wares.
And that's an important component too, because they're being judged to win, right? But also there's investors that are milling about and asking them questions one-on-one.
Absolutely. So more important than winning Startup Ride is getting the eye of a couple of investors,
it's the relationships,
or other folks.
Right.
Exactly. And also the big corporates that are going to be there as well, who potentially could be their clients.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's kind of a shift that we've seen over the last maybe 5 years or so, is more enterprise companies that are getting involved with startups.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we've got so many Fortune 500 companies in the metro area. I think we need more and more of that activity. Those folks are the best customer that any startup could get.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you doing anything to accelerate those relationships?
We try. We try and push and goad as much as we can. We've got some exciting stuff this year. Georgia Power, Southern Company, has stepped in to sponsor the event. They're going to be there as well. The Metro Atlanta Chamber has gotten involved as well as a sponsor. So through those relationships, we're trying to push as much as we can. Because, you know, more than anything, we just need the folks that are in big corporate offices here in Atlanta to know what's going on locally, and not just of the local startups, but all the startups that are coming in for this event and other events to help support that activity.
Now, I remember the last time you had this event, there were more than a few participants that were out of state, that was from Chattanooga specifically.
Yeah. 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 We have some out of state folks presenting this year as well. Unfortunately, looking at the list, we don't have any international startups this year, which I'm not really sure why that didn't happen this year, but hopefully we'll do better next year.
So, but that was something you were shooting for?
You know, I'm always shooting for folks from out of state. You know, that's one of the things, is that I don't try to spend so much time advertising and pushing to startups that are here, because they should know about Startup Ride.
Right.
So if they want to present, they should know about it and they should apply.
Present, right.
But really, a lot of my goal is to bring in startups that are outside of the region to come, because I think that helps our startups that are here to see what else is going on out there.
Now, Rob, when you went through the process and it helped you, I guess, meet people that have helped fund your company, like, what did you get out of it specifically?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting each time, but one of our advisors coined it pretty well. He said that things like this are a very good forcing function. It kind of forces you to take what you've been doing and coalesce it into something very concise. And
right.
So, you know, what I think the perception you can get sometimes is you're going to show up, you're going to meet an investor, you're going to win, and they're going
to
run away with a check, right?
And pile of money, right?
I think, you know, that can be a wrong impression. But, you know, I mean, quite frankly, the first startup, right, I met Sanjay as a presenter, and that company I didn't do a lot with, but when I started my next company, he was interested in investing. So I'm not saying you go to Startup Ride and you get an investor. Don't.
It's that simple.
I won't throw him under the bus like that. But
and truth be told, I've known Rob now for how long? 10 years?
Yeah, it was
years?
It was a relationship over. Yeah. Yeah, we actually first met at Georgia Tech function.
At Georgia Tech, yeah.
And then reconnected to Startup Ride. So it's you know.
So the right frame of mind then isn't like, look, I win and that's great, and yeah. I lose and then it's a bad day. There's a lot of ways to kind of leverage yeah. that day.
You're building a data point in a relationship with someone. So, mm-hmm. you know, one investor says that he likes to invest in lines and not dots. So it's a point in time when you start a relationship with a customer with dense opportunity of people, the event, that you want to be there. I've been to it 7 times, only twice as a presenter. So the other 5 times, I've not been trying to sell things. It's just worth it to me.
And then is part of it, when you're in that pit where all the other startups are, you're seeing a lot of smart people that are doing interesting things, of which just statistically, most of them aren't going to make it, but they might land somewhere else. And then you want to keep an eye on where they are, because you might need them for your next startup.
That's right. Actually, from that first year, one of the guys I met that first year was Matthew Sweezy, who is now at Pardot, and he's still helping my business now, starting from that relationship. Another guy presented and is now doing development work for us we were just co-presenters that first year.
And that's an important component of having a robust startup scene here in Atlanta, right, is have the enough density so that when a startup explodes, it can land somewhere else here in town
rather than
have to leave.
Exactly. I've heard stories of people say that they've met other folks at Startup Riot, and they've ended up starting up companies because of that relationship. They didn't know them before Startup Riot and then started a startup because of it. I mean, that's great stuff.
Right. And what about any mashups? Anybody that two people in booths next to each other then decided to, hey, let's just combine?
Well, that's interesting. I don't know that I've heard that story. I'm sure it's probably happened, but I hear everything kind of anecdotally. You know, I've heard people that have come in from out of town, come to Startup Riot, didn't know there was a startup scene here, realized there was one here, then moved to the city and gotten jobs with startups here in Atlanta. I mean, that's a great result for Startup Riot. If I hear just one story like that every year, I'm good. That's kind of my goal is accomplished.
Now, Spencer, for you, as having gone through the process, are you going to go to this year's event?
Yeah, I'll definitely go as an attendee this year. And it's definitely, as Rob was saying, it's a great place just to build relationships and expand your network.
Now, in since you've gone through it, where are you at in your company? Now you've gotten funding from Emory a little bit.
Yeah, so since then, that was 2013, we received a round from Emory, launched the first version of our product, and actually closed on an additional seed round, a $525,000 seed round. Launched the product at Emory, Morehouse College here in Atlanta, a UGA satellite campus called Griffin, and actually a middle school in town who's using it as a way to teach safe social networking. The parents are looking at the school, and the school are looking at the parents in this world of social networking, and where they're going to use Campus Bubble as a way to teach students in the classroom.
And then when you go as an attendee, you're just going just kind of to see what's out there, or you're looking for talent, looking
for
more funding?
He's bringing his checkbook.
Right. No, we're still starving, but it's all good. No, I think we're going just to see what's out there. To make more connections. We've also launched a company to run side-by-side with Campus Bubble called Nightly Labs, which it's like a website design firm, building mobile apps, software applications, websites. So everyone's always looking for a good IT dev shop, so going there as well to look for some business for that as well.
So now, Patrick, for you, now that you've exited, and are you going to look to invest in any of these? Does that interest you at all?
Of course it does, and I'm going to Startup Riot this year, and I'll be looking at the companies and seeing if anything interests me. But I mean, we had a great exit. As one of our investors said, it was a double. It wasn't a home run, but I'll take doubles all day long, especially versus striking out and losing all my money. But I love going to Startup Riot because, as these guys said, it's just you meet so many great people. One thing that I learned about being in a startup is that it's incredibly hard. It is. And everyone seems to think that it's this rock star lifestyle and it's great and it's awesome and you get to make your own hours. But I mean, I've never worked harder in my life. I've never had more ups and downs. I mean, in the same day, I could be on top of the world thinking that my product's the greatest in the world. And then the next 30 minutes, some guy says my baby's ugly and I'm like on the lowest of lows. And my wife is like, what is wrong with you?
Just get a job.
Right. But through the relationships at Startup Riot and here in Atlanta, you start to run into more entrepreneurs and people running startups, and they all have the same similar stories. And it just really, really helps to have that community here. And Sanjay, with Startup Riot, has done a great job to promote that and to let us know that there are others out there. I mean, you know, I've met Rob several times at Startup Riot, and you know, we don't see each other all the time, but when we do, it's nice to, you know, hey, how's it going? What's going on? And there's just the similar experience that we've had.
Now, any tips to the people that are going to present at the event?
One thing that I learned from coaching that I received is that when you're going to do a pitch, do it 7 times before you actually go out there and pitch it. And each time that you do it, you'll get better and better and better. And by the 7th one, you'll have nailed it. And so Startup Riot, like I said, was the first one that I did, and it really prepared me for all the other ones that I went on to pitch. And we raised $500,000 for 10-8, and we actually did it in about 4 months, which everyone said is going to take you a long time, but we were able to do it in 4 months. And if it wasn't for Startup Riot, I never would have hired a coach. to help with the pitches. I would have been completely unprepared for my second pitch where we raised our first 100,000. And it was a very similar format. Now, Startup Riot, there's, 500 people there?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the biggest one that I did by far. I mean, by far. The next one that I did, it was like 20 people. And so that it was
So it was easy.
It was. It was a cakewalk. I mean, I remember being up there, and I forgot to switch my slide. I mean, I literally was on to the next slide, and then I was like, holy crap, I got to switch my slide. Because I'm looking out there, and I'm seeing 500 people in front of me. And I'm like, but, you know, within 10-8, I mean, we traveled to a lot of events, commercial real estate events, and it afforded me the opportunity because we could say, hey, we placed third in this thing called Startup Riot. And everyone's like, oh, Startup, cool. You know, you placed third, must be something special, even though we weren't. But it gave us that credibility that we were. And it helped me to pitch the idea to bigger crowds because I had done it before. And so without the help of Startup Riot, I wouldn't have hired a coach. I wouldn't have practiced it as much as I did. And then 3 minutes is quick. I was thinking a minute and 30, but 3 minutes, that's why I think it's a minute and 30, because it went by so quick. And you have to know your story. You have to have it down. You got to practice it to do it well in 3 minutes. And then every pitch that we went on after that was anywhere between 5 to 10 minutes. Are you kidding me? That is forever. Like I could get up there and tell a joke or two afterwards. But it was a lot of fun, and just hearing the other companies' stories is fun for me too. I mean, it expands your mind. It starts making you think about other things within your own business. It's just a lot of fun.
I don't think I've had one entrepreneur ever tell me, like, after they've done the pitch, that they actually remember what they said. Because there was actually one story of one entrepreneur, and I've forgotten her name or his name, that told me they were about to run away. They had gotten so scared, and they got pushed out on the stage. And afterwards, they did a great job. And afterwards, they were like, I don't remember any of it. But apparently, they did a good job. And that's, I think, a common thing. Like, honestly, when I get up there and present and I talk and I do my intro, I don't remember any of it afterwards. And I talk for a lot longer than 3 minutes. Like, you ask me what I just said afterwards, I'm like, I have no idea.
Blacked out.
Yeah, totally.
So now, Rob, do you have any advice for the presenters on questions that the investors ask you after the pitch that they should be prepared to answer?
You know, I think it may be that Guy Kawasaki has this blog post about the 10-20-30 rule of PowerPoint that is pretty good. So, you know, here's the 10 issues you have to hit. And he says 20 minutes, which you certainly don't have here, and more than a 30-point font. Those are like good rules.
Right.
But I think, you know, basically making sure that you have to tag as many of those bases as possible. Like as many of those 10 things, if you don't answer them, that's what you're going to get asked about.
Right.
And, you know, basically another kind of good tip is basically like if you have lead with what you've got, right? So if you've got traction, lead with traction. If you've got product, lead with product. If you've got just ideas, then, you know, that's what you've got. But the kind of the higher up the hierarchy of needs that you can lead with, you're going to defuse, like traction defuses a lot of questions.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Spencer, you got any advice for the people about to get on the hot seat in a few weeks?
I think Patrick said it right, practice. I remember writing my script and practicing in front of my team a couple times, and while I was doing my presentation, they kept on correcting me or giving me advice during that practicing session. So then I stopped practicing in front of them.
Found a friendlier audience.
Yeah, went in front of a mirror and did what Patrick said. I don't remember if it was 7 times exactly, but that's a good number to remember instead. But definitely just regurgitated the presentation numerous times, looking at myself in the mirror, closing your eyes and picturing yourself on that stage in front of everybody is also a good tactic. And I think that will yield the best success.
Now, Sanjay, by having them present in front of the hundreds of people in the audience, what was the thinking there?
I don't know if there was any thinking there. I was just trying to get a huge big party together and let's see what happens.
But you know that ratcheted up the pressure on them.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But, you know, we're doing startups here, right? This is not Little League. This is the big time. You know, these folks want to succeed. And if they're going to succeed, they need to get their ideas and what they're doing in front of as many people as quickly as possible. And that's actually where some of the idea of the 3 minute came along as well, right? So if you think about it, inside of 3 minutes, probably in the first 30 to 40 seconds, you figure out if you care about this company or not, mm-hmm. right? So once you realize that, well, there's only another 2 minutes or so before they're done. It's not really enough time to go out and check your email or check, get on the phone call.
Right, they have to be engaged.
Or bathroom or whatever, right? You can check your email for another couple of minutes, and they're going to sit there. Because honestly, when it comes down to it, I don't really care about the 200, 300, 400 people that are sitting in the audience. I care about all the people that they know. Because those are the people that are likely going to care about one of the companies that's presenting. And so if they can make that introduction, that's valuable to me.
Yeah, real quick on a story to that. One of our second investor in had two investor buddies that were at Startup Riot, and both of them called this person after we went and said, you need to talk to Patrick. He's got an idea that you're going to love. So to your point, it's about who they know. The investor was not there, but he had two friends there, and they both called him. Thinking,
separately?
Separately, they did.
Wow.
And said, "You need Patrick's doing something that's right up your alley. You need to give him a call."
Wow, that theory actually worked. I just keep saying it. I didn't know.
So now, any surprises at this iteration of your event? Anything different than the previous?
Well, we're at a new venue. Right. So that's going to be one big difference. We're kind of dealing with parking right now, trying to figure that out. That's going to be a little bit of a challenge, but I think we've got it under control. I think there's not going to be many big surprises. We're trying to get a handle of this new venue. This is probably going to be our new home from here on out. So we've got kind of mid-300s in terms of audience right now. That might creep up a little bit. That's a good number for us to figure out the kinks and work through it all so that next year it's going to be even bigger. But it's going to be a fun time. We've got an after party as usual. We've got a sponsor for the after party, so the drinks will be flowing. Kind Snacks is sponsoring as well, they're going to be bringing food for everybody. So it should be a good time.
So now, putting on this event, what's the biggest challenge for you?
There's one that's not a biggest challenge.
Well, it seems like it's pretty easy to get the people to participate.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to get the investors to show up.
Relatively. Yeah.
Is it the
investors are fickle a lot of times though?
The right coffee guy? But what's the hardest?
No, a lot of that stuff, you know, it's all the little kind of nuances. So I'll tell you, already from this year, from the 30 that we had selected, we've now had two startups that have backed out. And it doesn't really upset me. It's two startups that ended up folding and imploding kind of in between the time that I
said yes
them
and now.
And now. Yeah, exactly. So one's already been filled. The other one is about to be filled again. It makes those startups that having to backfill these folks a little bit
they
on the hot
scramble,
seat
right?
Yeah, because they don't have a lot of time. So that's one of the challenges. But then it's all the logistics, right? So as you guys know, I kind of go a little crazy with our badges.
Right.
I spend a good bit of money on those badges. So there's a lot of logistical challenges with that. Then on the flip side of it, I don't spend almost any money on the programs and things like that. But there's still challenges to getting all that stuff done, especially when it's just me doing all of that stuff.
Your team is you?
My team is me. A team of one.
And then you mentioned that you have kind of visions of more in the future?
Yeah, so we've been talking to some folks, and that's kind of a normal entrepreneur thing when you always say we, and we just talked about the fact that it's just me.
Right.
But I will say I've got an awesome team of volunteers that every year they step up, and they've been helping for the last couple of months as well, helping organize a lot of this stuff. But we're talking with some folks. I did it again. I can't stop myself. Talking with some folks in other cities and other countries about doing smaller versions of Startup Riot in other places. So half-day events. And kind of my vision is what we would do is build essentially a farm system where earlier stage startups would present at their local events. If they succeed and continue on, they would then kind of graduate up towards the big event here, or international event here in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So I think it could be a lot of fun, and I think as a side benefit, if we start going to different countries, it gives me the opportunity
travel
to travel.
Budget, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. I get to go on vacation, kind of, sort of, not really.
So I have a Patrick question before you wrap. I don't know where you are in your grand plan here, but you did this thing, and now you have like almost a real job with this company that acquired you. Can you speak to that transition and what that's been like for you?
The transition has been an interesting one. It's fun on one hand because the group that bought us, they recently exited a company that they started for a lot bigger number than we did. And so I'm learning from these guys on true scalability on a global scale. I mean, we were set to scale here nationally, but they're going, look, we're going big, we're going global. We did it before with another company, which is the staple in commercial real estate technology called Argus, and we want to do it here. So I'm getting to learn from them. The hard part for me is I'm no longer the boss. And you have investors and you have to, you know, meet with the board and talk to them about what you're doing. But the vision, if you have good investors like we did, they support the vision. It's your vision. They help support the vision. They help you grow. The company that I'm working for now, yes, I have input into the vision, but I don't have the ultimate say into that vision. And that is, for an entrepreneur, that's a difficult thing to go through. I mean, it just is. It is. So I'm trying to remind myself that I have a boss and I have to ultimately do what he says. But, you know, I believe in what we're doing, so that makes it easier. But for anyone that's about to exit, don't kid yourselves. When if you were the boss and you're now about to have a boss, it is something that is difficult to deal with for most people. And I've talked to a lot of entrepreneurs that have exited and now have a new boss, and they say the same thing. Look, it just is different, and you have to be ready for it.
So now you started out not being an entrepreneur, then you became an entrepreneur, and now you're back kind of in the semi-entrepreneur. Do you find yourself kind of missing the entrepreneur days, even though it had the dramatic ups and downs emotionally?
The grass is always greener, right? I mean,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
when I was a commercial real estate broker, I mean, I was straight commission, so that kind of was like an entrepreneur. So I think I've always been one at heart. I just now understand how to run a company, which, being a broker, I'm just trying to find office space and make a commission. Right. Now I like truly understand.
Like, you're looking at process and systems.
The systems. You know, I got from a couple of the investors, they really harped on me that you have to have processes in place and you have to work them every single day. And that helped me tremendously. I mean, sales process, accounting processes, you know, filling order processes, onboarding processes. I mean, doing what I was doing before that, I had no clue. And now I understand. So it's been a great learning experience.
So, Sanjay, what do you need more of right now? You're at the final days of this before the event.
Sponsors?
Still looking for sponsors? Or you're always looking for sponsors?
I am always looking for sponsors. Because, you know, any sponsor we get, it just adds to the cool stuff that we can do. But realistically, it's probably too late for any new sponsors at this point. But attendees, this year, we're keeping the registration open for a little bit longer than normally we do. So it's still open right now. It'll probably be open until kind of mid, late next week.
And what's the website?
Startupriot.com. Very easy.
And they can go to register there?
They can go to register right there. But unless anybody else drops out, I think we're good on the presenters. We're good on pretty much anything else. If people have stuff they want me to give away, if they've got cool giveaways, I will take that stuff. I'm always ready to throw stuff out to the crowd.
More swag.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the crowd loves swag. I've heard a rumor that one of our sponsors might be getting me a T-shirt cannon. I'm not going to say who, in case it doesn't happen. I don't want to throw them under the bus, but if they do, it's going to be awesome.
So you're going to have T-shirts.
Definitely going to have T-shirts.
It's a logical extension of that.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely will have T-shirts.
All right, so let's go around the room one more time so everybody can pitch their business. Spencer, website for you guys?
Sure, campusbubble.com.
Patrick?
Realnex.com, realnex.com.
And Rob?
Perfectpost.net.
And Sanjay, thank you so much for putting this together. Remember, there's still time to attend. Go to startupriot.com.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right. So we will see you in a few. We're back next week with Atlanta Tech Leaders.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.